So you're with me on the official Celtic FC podcast with Dante and Jules from the band Gunn. We're talking about their latest album, Hombres, which is out now, their ninth studio album. You guys mentioned earlier on the fact that two of the tracks that you've written are on the soundtrack to Damaged. It's a new film that's coming out, Samuel L. Jackson. Yeah. And what's nice as well about that is the fact that the film was shot in Scotland as well. So there's a real Scottish feel to it in terms of the production, and then also the soundtracks as well, which I think is really nice. And
it's amazing, you know, that we got, you know, those two tracks on the movie. You know, the producer guy who produced the album, you know, he put it forward, and you know, and it's all been rubber stamped now, you know, and it's a track. Lucky Guy and
Pride
are the two songs off that album that are on it, and it's
that's why they need the two of you here. what well is a team. have you ever done any, has any of your music been on anything else before in terms of TV or film?
We did a cover version of Everyone's a Winner
on I, Sonia.
And I
told you, sorry.
See, I mean, just leave there. I told you.
This is meant to be water, but it's.
with what's her name? I can't remember her name, the Australian actress.
Tonya, yeah.
It was girl, the actress.
Oh, I don't know.
Is that the one about the ice skating?
Barbie.
Yeah.
Oh,
listen, anyway, none of us are going to make up a quiz team by here.
I'm sure the viewers will be like that, shouting. Such and such, I forget her name. But that was featured on there. And then we had the band El Presidente before that Jules and I kind of had worked on. We had a few songs, I thought, Without You, which was in Manhattan, Maid of Honor. Which was a Patrick Dempsey movie.
That's right.
Yeah, so there's been a few.
Because I wonder what that experience
Word
is like.
Word Up was in Barbed Wire, her version.
You know, like, when you go and see this film and you're sitting in the cinema.
I look forward to that.
And actually, you're suddenly something that you've just created. That'd be a strange experience.
I think Pride is actually played in the background, like as though it's in a bar, I think, and John Hannah is in it. And right. I think. There's a sort of fighting scene, but originally there was which I'm quite gutted about. There was a scene that we have on video of Samuel Jackson getting drunk, drinking miniatures from his hotel room with sort of the crime scene sort of wall and stuff like that. And our one of our songs was played in the background, and it was amazing. So he's dancing to this song, which is You Are What I Need, which is off the album, and he's dancing to it, but it never got used.
It didn't make it.
See, I always think that, but maybe it was because it was like, it's just too messy. Don't want to see him drinking. And it would have been the very first time that he's ever danced in a movie.
Maybe there'll be a director's cut.
Maybe. You never know.
But I think they were just saying what relevance to that, to the movie is. Drunk in his hotel bar, so maybe.
So, yeah.
And these things, I think, are quite, what I always think is quite exciting as well, because obviously you're recording albums, you're going out and you're playing gigs, and that's what you want to do, but you just never know where these other things lead to, because it's a whole different world. So somebody's listening to that and going, I like the sound of that, let's go and check them out. And
I don't know how many times I've done that myself. I've maybe went to see a movie or whatever, and then you hear some music and go, who's that? That sounds good. And then you go and check it out, and then you're like, oh, God, this is good. I'll download this.
At one point, the boys for the Carlton at the Oscars.
That'd
be amazing.
Soundtrack.
There'll be a premiere of it, absolutely.
Who wear that t-shirt in Los Angeles, isn't it?
You never know.
No, it's great.
We've spoken before when you come in a couple of times, and I think one of the times when I spoke to you, I think, have you ever been tempted to write a Celtic song?
Mates have asked me, a few mates have asked me.
I wonder if that's so much pressure as well, because it's...
But when you go through all the Celtic songs, you know, and they've written about all the greats, and they've written about, you know, it's just the wording of it, I suppose, more than... I mean, we could put the music together, I think, quite
easily, musically,
just what were we singing about? Everyone else has sang, sang all the time. But, you know, I don't know. I
suppose maybe we could sing about being for the Celtic.
But even on that same note of, you know, like going to the cinema and hearing your song, have you ever been sitting in the stadium at Celtic Park when your own music's come on?
Aye. But have we done that?
No, but someone played, there's a track on that called All Fired Up, and Celtic played it a couple of weeks ago. We were at the game, we were in a studio. But
he'd sent it,
you could hear it, you know, sort of a we have been in, you know, we have been in the stadium. I've heard a couple of tracks in the past, you know, from
that must be a nice feeling as well. So.
Amazing.
Is there a wee party you want to stand up and go?
That's all fired up would be a good one to kind of to kick off with, wouldn't it?
But what we have had is the amount of times it's been played, like with Man United Stadium,
Liverpool,
you know, everywhere, you know, down in England, all the big stadiums down.
I suppose the kind of music you've got is there is a kind of there's an energy to it. That
absolutely,
definitely. I think
so. Yeah, we've heard that a lot. You know, people saying, they've been playing it down in Liverpool, and they've been playing it at Man United Stadium, they've been playing it at the Etihad, and everything else. Yeah. You know, so it's great.
Because
you know,
I wonder if it will end up on the Celtic dressing room playlist, because I know Matt O'Reilly's a big fan of Gunn. We've interviewed him before because his dad was obviously involved in music, but he's got quite an eclectic taste for a young guy.
He's quite interesting. Again, father passing down to
his dad's a musician, you know. His dad still plays guitar and stuff like that. And was it 2 years ago? His dad played. Dom had played the garage in.
That's right,
South Hill
Street.
We were up jamming with him, and Matt came along, and I can't remember the big Celtic defender.
It was just on loan, I think.
Was with him.
I don't want to see his name.
Did he come from what team was it? He's German. He was German, the boy.
Yeah, the German.
Moritz Jens.
He came along, you know, chatting away with him and stuff like that. No, Matt is a big fan of the band, you know, and he sent me a really nice text saying my dad's let me hear the album and stuff, and absolutely love it, you know, and he sent us a nice wee video of to congratulate us about the wreck and stuff. But his dad's a big music fan. He loves playing guitar and playing in bands and stuff like that. And
yeah, actually, I came down, Dom, recently to London.
Yeah.
We were doing a showcase in London at the 100 Club. In Oxford Street, and Dom was there.
Oh, he's a lovely guy.
And I know that obviously with the album coming out, you've got plenty of gigs going on for the rest of the year, but in the short, in the immediate term, you've got quite a few in-store promotions. Is that just going to be signing the album? Are you going to be playing
as well? I think we'll do 3 or 4 songs. In Glasgow, we're going to be... it's going to be like a full band sort of set up.
That's St. Luke's, isn't it?
That's St. Luke's is the 28th. I think it's the 28th.
That's the
Friday. Yeah. But I think one of them's completely sold out, which is actually we're doing two shows in one day. So there's a matinee. So last time we did that was in Los Angeles, I think.
Los Angeles, that's right. But, could do two shows in the one day because...
We had to jump onto the Rolling Stones tour.
We were playing the famous Whiskey A Go-Go in Los Angeles. It was Friday and Saturday. And, you know, the record company says, we're not cancelling the shows, you'll need to do them. Yeah. And you'll need to do the two of them. Two shows in one day. So we did the two of them on the Friday. Because the Saturday was a travelling day to Rotterdam Football Stadium and open for the Rolling Stones after playing all these dingy bars around about America, you know.
That must be, in terms of your career, that you never know where you're going to end up. So as you say, you're maybe doing something in a kind of small venue, an intimate venue, and then next minute you're at, I don't know how many, 60,000, 70,000 fans opening for the Rolling Stones.
Wow, you know.
It's funny, you just... That's weird. So when you do those, I mean, I don't know if it was I remember doing the actual gig and going on stage and thinking, well, we've just been playing to about 100 people a night throughout a 2 month tour in the States. In fact, it was meant to be 3 or 4 months, and that's why we were so happy it got cut short, you know. Yeah. But because it was quite a grueling tour, that one. Mm-hmm. And then we got put, and then you're just, I don't know if it was a jet lag or just the actual fact that, you know, the next day you're playing to 50,000-60,000 Rotterdam Stadium. Mental. It's like, this
is, do you think that goes back to, as well, we were talking earlier on about that, also the humility and never forgetting where you come from, that, you know, whether you're playing to 100 people or 100,000, you're giving everything anyway, because 100%. You're kind of thinking,
well, you know, Paul,
everybody merits a great show.
I like those shows. I love those small, intimate gigs. And I remember, God, name dropping, Jagger, Mick Jagger, coming up to us and goes, what you've got to do when you're, I find it really difficult to engage an audience of 60,000 people, and you've got, like, you know, and person up the back, you know, how do you get their attention? Mm-hmm. Because, well, as well as music, that's the thing. What you end up doing on stage is you end up focusing on the first 10 rows people, because you just can't help looking at everybody. What you've got to do is you've got to look up, and that's what he says. You've got to look up. You've got to try and engage and look at people right at the back and try and do that throughout the gig. Yeah. So only way you can kind of engage.
Because that's a skill in itself.
That's really tough.
Because the temptation must be just to focus just on the people whose eye you can catch.
You just automatically do it.
Because they're all going crazy anyway, you know. It's like, this is amazing, but there's more people, that, you know, you've got to look up. And that was one of the sort of...
I suppose that's years. Good, that'll be years of practice from them having done that, but then passing that on.
Oh, absolutely, you know. And we, you know, we did that whole tour. I mean, 30 shows, just in a splitter van with the gear in the back, and there was no big buzz. There was nothing lavish about it. We were staying in 2-star hotels and stuff like that, all around Europe, but we weren't giving a damn about that. It was just the buzz of playing with the Rolling Stones.
Yeah, absolutely.
And everything else that got us, you know, we were super excited, you know, and that was just probably, you know, it's one of the high points of our career, you know, of opening up for the Rolling Stones. But here we are, we've got a bunch of in-stores to do.
Yeah, in-stores to do it, and then we've got these...
Like I mentioned, this. Three shows gigs in Spain as well.
We've got Spain coming up in May. Mm-hmm. That's the kind of beginning of May, and those tickets are selling really well. But and then we've obviously got the UK tour coming up in December, which kicks off in London on December the 4th, a place called Scala.
Yeah, I think London, it is. Yeah,
and
yeah.
It ends, there's a lot of dates in between, but it ends in the Glasgow Barlands on the 14th of December. Yep. So looking forward to
it. So you reckon if MD's going to go to that gig, they just hang about 8 o'clock and see the two of you just strolling down for your mum's
gig? They probably would die. So get your tickets for the gig.
Because the Barrowland, I mean, it's obviously you have a set of pride because it's a great Glasgow venue, but it is an iconic rock venue. Anybody who plays it talks about it.
We know other musicians and stuff like that, you know, and who have played it, and we talk about it. And the Barlands is, I suppose, it's the equivalent of the Glasgow Apollo. I mean, Apollo was maybe 3,500 or something, and the Barlands 2,000. But it just has that atmosphere. It's magical. It's just incredible atmosphere in it, where the fans are in it, and if they really like you, you know, they're really, you know.
How many times do you reckon you've played it?
Somebody asked me that.
Lost count.
Because I'm guessing the magic is still the same as it was the first time you played it.
100%. 100%.
More than
15, maybe.
Probably 15 times I've played it.
That's impressive.
It's great, you know.
I think we did it twice in 1 year.
We wouldn't play it anywhere else, I don't think, you know.
Because I don't think you can. I can't think of a bad gig I've ever seen in there. It just lends itself. But also, I think it lends itself to a band that has your sound as well.
Yeah.
It just fills it. And
I think also the acoustics in it for the PA. So when you see a band in there, you know, it's just right. You know, it sounds great. You can hear everything, the drums, guitar. You know, see some gigs that the sound gets lost on big gigs and stuff, but in there, it just seems to just work all the time. You know, it's a great, great venue, you know, and we just love playing there. It's just, it really does for us, make it the best venue that we've ever played in Britain, you know, sort of a, and not just because it's Barra, but we've played gigs in London, we've played in Brixton, we've played in wherever else. Mm-hmm. Just nothing, and I don't think it's just like because it's home, but it's just not different.
Madrid
different
comes a close second, though, I would say.
Madrid's an incredible city for us to play as well. You know, it's just they're fanatical over there.
I was going to ask you that. You know, you've got like a really specific Spanish tour. Is that are you just particularly popular in Spain?
Yeah, it's probably it is our strongest market. I mean, there's Germany and there's
Portugal.
Denmark,
Portugal's big as well.
We never ever kind of made it and cracked it in Italy, even though we come from Italian design. but more so Spain, and I don't know what it is, but the reason again, hombres, we kind of, it's like mates, friends, and stuff like that.
It's a wee homage to the friends.
The front cover, I really like the front cover design as well.
And the front cover design is kind of like the Spanish colours, you know? So it's a little bit of homage to those guys.
A bit of marketing involved there, so. No, it's a really, really eye-catching cover.
No, it's great. And that's the backdrop, when as soon as we come out, our whole backdrop is this. On the live, you know, like one of these, you know, like it's just like
it looks really cool,
you know.
So I'm going to ask the one question that I'm sure everybody asks, and you probably hate asking, especially when a new album comes out. I mean, we've already spoken about Fallen, and you can explain. But either do you have any particular favourites, or does that change in the course of either the recording or the release, or when you're playing it live? At a certain point, you go, "Oh, that I love this song." That becomes.
For me, it's always been Fallen. I've always, as I said to you, explaining how, you know, it kind of was like when he came in with the idea.
Is that with the magic of the song? You know, I've listened to other songwriters where sometimes they don't know where the idea comes from. It kind of just drops down, and you grab it, and there's that kind of magic.
As soon as you
of
hear it,
you've come up with that idea. You hear it, and then suddenly something clicks.
I know exactly what I'm going to do.
Which is,
I know how I'm going to.
How do you quantify that? You don't. It just there's a magic to it.
That's
well.
The thing, Paul. Again, in songwriting, you know, like it's like if you hear something right away and it catches you, you know, that's just. Cheers, it's a sign of a good song, you know, like that. When I've put a radio on, or I've maybe checked something on Spotify, oh wow, that sounds really cool.
Yeah.
And that's you know, when it catches your imagination right away, it means something. So he got it right away, what we were trying to do with it, you know, and that's, you know, instead of, because there's times I've been in the studio, or he's been to me, what do you not like that idea for? And I just, no, I don't like it.
You've got to say the exact same
to him, but when you get it right away, then it's a whole, you just build on it, you know, you feel good about it, you don't have to do, probably you don't have to do too much, but you need to arrange it right and stuff like that, but that's a sign of a good song, I think, you know?
Yeah.
Song as soon as you hear it right away. Yeah, there's songs that just grow on you, and you go, oh, wow, that's the best song. I say, but there's two or three songs. I mean, Fallen for me, is up there. Then I like Take Me Back Home. It's like a real rock.
It's really good,
like,
fun to play, Take Me Back Home. But You Are What I Need is one that's kind of, it's grown on me now. And I think that's going to be not a single as such, because they don't do singles anymore, but
that'll
a feature
be released,
song
yeah.
off the album.
Because the one I just had a quick listen to it in Fake Life.
Fake Life, yeah.
I got an Iggy Pop vibe from that. Because, I mean, you know, when they start listening to it, and that's because sometimes you can hear an influence, sometimes you can't, and then that's what I liked the vibe
Iggy
of that
Bowie.
One.
Bowie, that's exactly where that's where we're going with that. Maybe with a little bit of AC/DC guitar.
When I hear it, I'm like, I think of the Kinks for some reason. It's a good song to sing. We've not actually played that. Really looking forward to maybe adding that to the set. We already play 6 songs from the new album, and the album's not even been out yet. So,
is there a sense of, you know, no matter how many times you release something, and you know people will start to listen to it, is there a nervousness, or is it just the excitement to see what the fans react to, what they choose as their favourite, and how it goes.
It's a bit of both, you know. Like, we had a wee listening party to, like, the real Special Gun fans who adore the band, who have, you know,
followed the band from day one.
You name it, they've bought a teaser, but everything, you know. And we had a wee listening party for them
last week
and to come to the studio and
brilliant.
I'd serve some drinks.
That's a nice thing
for
your fans.
Special fans. And you're kind of waiting to hear what their response is and stuff, but they were like, wow, you know, and they just really grasped it, you know, and they just absolutely loved what they'd heard and stuff like that, you know, and and mostly every album review that we've had has been 9 out of 10, some 10 out of 10. Right.
That's really encouraging.
So and so
why no 10 out of 10?
No, there has been one 10 out of 10. But, you know, 8 out of 10, 9 out of 10. So I think people are getting it. You know,
still going out with the marks.
Because I also think your true fans, they'll tell you.
They will tell us.
Oh, totally. Which is a good 100%, thing.
100%.
Yeah, we've got them videoed after the show, after we did it, you know, and talking about the new album and stuff like that.
You know, our true fans, you know, they'll be, because they've said it before, you know, about albums in the past, like, you know.
You know, it's the easiest thing to say is like, oh, the new album's the best album. But you know why bands and artists, and you know, when they've always got something brand new out, it's fresh. That's why.
Yeah.
It's fresh and, you know, and it's great fun to play. So when you go to play these songs live, there's a buzz about it because you're looking forward to it. I'm not saying that you dismiss all the old songs like your Word Ups and Better Days and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You don't. It's just because they're older songs. Mm-hmm. You know how to play them. You know that. But, you know, there's a sense of excitement about playing new material. And the fans maybe pick that up from you, you know, from the way you're playing and stuff.
Well, I think, like, people go out and say, oh, this is our best record since I've. A lot of bands say that, you know. But, like what Dante said, I think it's the most enjoyable record I've ever recorded in the band, honestly. You know, we have our own studio. We have, you know, time was never, you know, there's always time, get things done, time's costly. But we took our time on the record and we took our time in writing it and we just to feel good about it. But see, when we started recording it as a band, those songs, you know, it was just magic. It was just, wow, we were just all rocking it in the studio and really, you know, just giving it everything, because you could feel it. You could feel the vibe. You could feel everybody being excited about it. And I think that shows in the record. When people hear it, they go, man, it sounds so powerful. It sounds like, you know, it's real. It sounds real because we recorded it old school, you know, like everybody get in, record it, just record the track and we'll, you know, get the best version of us recording the whole thing. None of this. We'll record this wee bit and we'll use that and we'll paste it onto it. No, we recorded it as a proper band, like old school, you know, and we were getting sucked up with the vibe in the studio that I think it comes across the record like that. You know, people are like, God, it sounds dead exciting, but that's the way it was, that's the way we recorded
to your point as well, when you said right at the very start, you actually enjoy listening to yourself on this album, which again, I'm guessing that must have taken you by surprise if you kind of got into that vibe of like...
You know, because I think, like, because you've recorded it so, you know, you've been in the studio, you've demoed it, you know, we demo it and then go into the studio and record it. And so you have lived with these songs for a length of time. Now, in previous albums, when we did that, it was like, as soon as the album came out, you'd be like, I don't want to hear it anymore. I've heard it enough times now.
Yeah.
But with this, it's been different for some reason. I don't know, you felt the same. I'm listening to it all the time.
That's great.
And whenever a song comes on the radio, I'm like, oh, turn it up.
Yeah.
You know, and it's, I don't know, there's something about it. It's something, you know, that feels quite
magical. I think
magical
that's nice.
And
if you've, you know, you've been doing it for so long, there's so many albums that still gets you.
Yeah.
So.
And I'm terrible for listening, because when I listen back to the album,
are you critical?
You start being critical and you start picking wee bits up, you know, like, oh, I could have done that. Why did I not try? But this on this list. I went, no, I'm happy with it.
Sheer perfection.
I love it. 10 out of 10.
10 out of 10.
Jeez. 11 out of 10.
A question mark if you didn't give it 10 out of 10.
But no, so that's, you know, it felt great about the songs, felt great about the recording, you know, and I just think we've probably done as best a job as we could ever do it on it, you know. But I just felt great from recording it to finishing it, getting it mixed and getting it ready for release.
Brilliant. And we're hoping that it'll be a number one hit. We're also, since we're sitting in the Celtic Park, we're also hoping that within a few weeks we'll also be celebrating being number one come the end of the season. That's,
fingers crossed.
Yeah, I mean, it's in our own hands. Win the six games, we win the league.
I was just a wee bit disappointed with the last game against Rangers and stuff, but you know, I still think, you know, Rangers would have preferred the win. I know we could have won it, but we went there, we've got the draw, it's in our hands, we're not out it, you know, and you know, I think, fingers crossed, I think we'll get over the line.
It seems like all the players are kind of back to fitness now.
Yeah, I think that's a big thing.
That's a massive thing, I think, for
70% Hatate, just wow.
I know.
Wow. What?
I think that's the word. You can't. How do you describe him?
What a player, man. What a footballer. He missed. And look at the amount of times we missed Vickers, you know, as well. That defence is great, but it's just absolutely solid when he's there, you know.
And we mentioned, obviously, we're not just going to keep talking him up because he's a big fan of Gunn, but Matt O'Reilly's season has been incredible, wonderful.
You know,
he's pudding. You know, Paninka penalty. Oh,
that is so cool, isn't it?
In front of
50,000 Rangers fans, you know, and score a goal like that. That's coolness personified. That was absolutely. That is like, there you go, take that. You know what I mean?
So we're keeping our fingers crossed.
Absolutely. I hope he stays. You know, I really do. But
yeah.
But no,
I St. Mary's after here. Yeah.
And again, once Kyle Mack's back to his fitness, you know what he's like in that game. I don't know how many times he's bossed that game. You know, he's. But as Hatate for me, I just thought phenomenal footballer. You know.
How do you watch the games then? If you're, you know, wherever you are, do you always try and find somewhere wherever
Celtic,
you are in the world?
Celtic TV, we've got
Celtic
it.
Celtic TV, yeah.
Absolutely, we've got it.
That's what we've got. So,
you know, Dante, now
anywhere we watch it.
We've got in stores.
This week.
You know, this week, next week. So, St Mirren game are away, you know, we're up in Dundee, I think. And then Dundee.
Yeah, because I was just going to tell people, if you go into www.gunofficial.co.uk/tour, that will give you all the details of all the in-stores.
Yeah.
And there's also information, as I say, if you're listening and watching in Spain, there's plenty of gigs there.
Brilliant.
And then also the UK tour. I think if you can go on, and there's various bundles if you can get of the album. Yeah. There's also gig tickets. The Barland gig is one not to be missed, of course, but if you're elsewhere in the UK.
Definitely.
And then in the meantime, obviously, you can, because one of the things I think is, again, we spoke earlier on about the fact that we're of a certain vintage. It must be great that vinyl has made such a resurgence as well.
That's the one, because
that's a work of art as well.
Yeah.
As the actual album.
Well, years ago, you know,
can I see that album? Sorry.
Well, years ago when we used to.
Because I'm really curious. This is for you, by the way. This album.
All right. Thank you.
Well, can we keep it? I would like to see this album.
But years ago,
but carry on.
You know, we went from vinyl.
We
went from vinyl to digital.
Yeah.
That cost a fortune to record like that. Now, try to go back to vinyl. You know, a lot of bands now are going back to vinyl because it sounds so much better, you know.
Because I love it. You know that way, if you still get old, you know, I've still got quite a lot of old vinyl albums.
Absolutely.
And there's a certain, people always talk about it, it's slightly cliched, but it is true, that sound when you put the needle down.
Analogy sound.
There's just something magical, even before the first, you hear the first bars of the song. So.
Absolutely.
Sorry.
When you buy your album, it's going to be easier to get the record out.
It's precious. I know. Right, I've got it. I know. But I wanted to see, because this album cover is a bit different. That's me. I've got it now. So I think there's certain ones you can
different
get.
Different colours, different vinyls. There's,
but yeah, this is your one.
Right. This is the green, white and gold one.
That'd be amazing.
That's the next album.
Absolutely.
So inside it, as you can see, it's a big picture there. Hold that a second, Jules. This is a white vinyl, I'm sure, which I was dying to see.
Right.
So,
wow.
So this is pretty cool. There's not many of these going about. So that's the white vinyl.
Well,
that is impressive.
Which is pretty cool.
See, I always
you just buy it for that.
I just think
the songs are rubbish. You know, but
again, what I think, you know, we were speaking earlier on about like young people coming to the gigs. I think it's great that a lot of young people are embracing vinyl as well now.
As
a kind of a way of listening to music. But it's more than just the listening. It's as you're listening to that, then you're looking at the sleeve.
But that's it's a whole thing.
You remember putting sleeves up on your wall and stuff.
It's a process. Yeah. There's nothing better. You buy a new album, you know, and you open the sleeve. I want to see, you're listening to it in the background.
Exactly.
And you want to see where it's recorded, who have they friended in it, and, you know.
I've got four or five mates who have not downloaded it, who have not pre-ordered it, who have not, whatever. They want to go into the shop, like the old days, go and buy the album.
There's something really nice about
that. Get it handed over. You know, what we used to do back, you know, and
so
then
I'm assuming you've got a turntable in the house.
Yes. And even if I didn't, I'd be getting one.
There's something really good about that, Paul. You know, it's just people going in to buy the record. That's what they want to do, you know.
Yeah.
Buying a physical copy, you know, of the album. And it takes you back to, you know, when you were a kid, you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Just things like that, you know.
So there you are, that's a plug for the vinyl edition of Ombres by Gunn. But again, there are various different versions.
Yeah,
and you know, if people still want to stream on whatever platform, just make sure you're listening to it and you will not be disappointed in this album. Guys, sadly we've come to the end of the podcast. As always, it's brilliant to have you in.
It's amazing, incredible.
It's exciting, as I say. I mean, I'm just looking back and thinking how much you've done in your career, but I also think it's great when people are listening to it, just how excited you still are about
100%.
This album, about the music, and I think that people feed off that. I think.
Oh well, that's our job. That's what we do. That's what we're passionate about, you know. And yeah, our second passion is obviously this football club and stuff like that. But when it comes to work, you know, we take great pride in what we do and try our best and, you know, keep it up, keep it for the fans.
And enjoy it.
They're the most important thing about it, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, listen, thank you very much, Dante and Jules, for joining us. Thank you for listening or watching, wherever you are in the world. And remember, you can like the podcast, you can review it, and that always helps. And we shall be back either with players past, present, future, or maybe some other celebrity Celtic fans. The benchmark's been set pretty high for free gifts for the host. But best of luck with the album, and thanks again.
Thanks very much, Paul. Thanks very much. Cheers, guys. Hail, hail.